Nathan Zgarra, Vic Carucci, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, the letter from Jimmy Haslam, top story of the day. We've got some mock drafts to talk about as well. We want to continue to hear from you. We're going to grade the tight ends and Jerrod Cherry. So a lot to get to here in hour number two. Vic, where do you want to start? You want to go back to the phones? You want to go talk a little mock draft for a second?
Let's get into some mockage.
Let's talk a little mockage. All right, so three mock drafts released today. Mel Kiper at ESPN released his. Johnny Manziel going number one overall to the Houston Texans. As things relate for the Cleveland Browns, he has them taking quarterback Blake Bortles at number four overall. And then with the 26th pick in the first round, he has the Browns selecting running back Carlos Hyde from Ohio State. Now, in his analysis of that pick, he does note, number one, I think this is a good spot for the Browns to move down and allow a team that really wants a quarterback to move up and grab one. For example, a guy like Derek Carr. So he doesn't think the Browns will take a running back there, but he does think they need to get a starting level running back at some point, maybe in round two, so maybe they will trade down and get out of that. So he's not marrying them to Carlos Hyde. He's just saying this is where he thinks about Hyde should be at the end of the first round there. Now, at the NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks both released their mock drafts today. They both have the Browns taking John Football at number four overall, and then at number 26, Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Carlos Hyde, while Bucky Brooks has them taking wide receiver Mike Evans of Texas A&M to pair with his teammate Johnny Manziel. My thoughts on this, I think the quarterback at four seems right to me. I think hopefully Johnny Manziel will be able to get there. Blake Bortles, Bridgewater, one of those three, I think the Browns take at number four. I don't think they take a running back at number 26. That does not seem to jive with what I know and what I've heard from this organization about the way that they view the running back position. I do think they will be able to get a good starter at running back as the draft progresses, maybe round three, maybe round four. And I think that will be ultimately the way things shake out here for the Cleveland Browns at that spot. But I think it's going to go quarterback receiver, quarterback cornerback, if I were to guess right now for the Browns.
I'm going to go right along with that thought process. What I like about these mock drafts, and let me point out that Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks have experience as working in player personnel scouting in the National Football League. They bring those credentials to the table. I think the choices of those quarterbacks, either one of those guys, Bortles or Manziel, would be a great pick for the Browns. I believe the way the board is going to unfold is that one of those two, possibly both, would be available for the Browns to pick at number four. And I think that would be a good thing. I'm leaning more toward Bortles.
Yep.
The only reason right now I want to see Johnny Manziel is I want him to come into the studio and have you refer to him as John Football. Let him hear
John
that.
John Football.
And see his reaction. Because he might throw a football at you or something. I don't know.
You think he'll like that? This guy loves any. Of course he will. He likes nicknames. He likes being in the media.
I just want you to say that, so you'll be saying it repeatedly when he's here.
I can't wait to get Josh Gordon here, so I can drop a Flash Gordon on him.
And he's on my guest list here too. We got to make the call to the heaven, to the big ring in the sky.
Macho Man's gonna come out when we have something to talk about.
I've been holding off. Seriously, I want to let people know because
the new head coach.
People have been asking me. They say, Vic, when are you gonna get Macho to come on the show? And when's he gonna? You know, we want to hear his analysis. Yeah. When's he gonna be back? It's been a while, and we had the holidays and everything, and he's been busy up there. You know, there's holidays up in the big great beyond too. So he was dealing with those. But my thought is, we got to have something tangible. I don't like to bring him in this uncertain time.
He's the match.
I want the match to have more definitive things. And his time you can't waste his time.
He's got valuable time.
It's very valuable. So,
for sure.
So anyway, that's why he's on the to-do list. But back to the mock drafts. I don't like any of them that have the Browns with a running back in the first round. The Browns are not drafting a running back in the first round, period. Agreed. It's not happening. And I know Buckeye fans want their guy and would love to see their guy in a Browns uniform. I love him, too. I think he's a hell of a back. Maybe he goes in the first round somewhere. Maybe he goes higher than the Browns would want to pick a running back. But it doesn't mean you can't get a good running back somewhere down the line in the draft after you've addressed quarterback, receiver, O-line, corner. Probably in that order is the way I see the top needs of this football team. So that's how that goes. Let's get some barks if we could at 216-578-0850. A lot of people want to bark at us. Rob in South Carolina. Hello, Rob. Hey, Rob.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How you doing, Rob?
Yeah.
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Good,
good, thank you.
I just got one simple question for you. Why are we not looking at Norv Turner?
Well, that's not an easy one to answer, Rob, but a fair question. They've given him their blessing to pursue work elsewhere.
And he will be interviewing now for the offensive coordinator position with the Minnesota Vikings.
So why isn't he, and I'm going to take your question to be all-encompassing, why isn't he being considered for head coach, which is what I think your first point was,
yeah.
And then after that, why wouldn't he be considered for, say, the coordinator's job here? We were told from very early in the process, and I mean early, that neither of the coordinators was going to be in the mix for the head coaching job here. And they've since, of course, been given the leeway to make lateral moves in the league. When you're allowed to make a lateral move, your team that previously employed you or has you under contract has to give you those blessings, because under league rules, a team can't hire you to a lateral position if the club that has you denies that. But they've given them the blessing to do that. I think the reason, the simple reason with Norv, and it's not simple, is the complexity of the analysis that we were talking about, that they just didn't see enough in the way of individual position improvement on offense, even though you had some eye-popping numbers from Josh Gordon, you had some promising offensive moments, you had quarterbacks who none of whom you would look at as a starter in the National Football League for any length of time, and that would include Hoyer because there's more unknown there than known, doing the things that they did and dealing with Brandon Whedon as the starting point and on and on and on and the injuries. So I would say that, yeah, they did some remarkable things there, but there was not enough, for the sake of those making the decisions here, enough innovation, enough forward thinking, enough out-of-the-box thought. In terms of the offense, they wanted to see more of that. So that would still apply. If you're hiring someone who you feel, either as the head coach with an offensive background, who we think it would be, a guy like an Adam Gase, he's going to bring those thoughts, those philosophies, and they're likely to differ with what Norv Turner has in mind as a longer-term thinker, maybe more old-school thought that he had that he brought here, married to a system that has served him well through his career, and that's why you don't do that. As far as Ray Horton goes, I think far too many defensive failings and collapses, especially in the final two-thirds of the season, to keep him here.
Exactly. Norv Turner, I would have liked to see stay. I thought he did a great job, but I think they're going to move towards a more, what I would call, modern, innovative offense, especially if they do draft a guy like Johnny Manziel or Blake Bortles, who can move around, have some mobility at the quarterback position. We did hear Peter King reference the fact that he thought there may have been some discord between Norv Turner and the front office over the type of quarterback he wanted for his system, a traditional strong-armed pocket passer versus, of course, one of these newer, kind of more mobile quarterbacks. And it's interesting, when you look at the AFC-NFC championship games, you see the old school and two of the greatest to ever play the game in Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right.
In the NFC, you see two of the young school, the new school, mobile guys, can run, who can pass,
yeah,
who can do it all, Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. So you're kind of seeing that, and each school will have a representative in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, it's a contrast, and it's fascinating. And I think this Final Four, besides providing unbelievable storylines, also provides some very interesting models for this and other teams to look at. You've had seven teams change coaches this year, and with those seven teams, and yes, you could say, well, like a guy like a Lovie Smith is going to stay true to what he did for 9 years as a head coach in Chicago, and maybe another guy who had a head coaching shot at Jim Caldwell is going to do what he does. Ken Wisenhunt will do what he did because they were head coaches. But for the most part, when you look at assistants who have gotten the opportunity now to be head coaches, and the new ideas that they may bring to the table, and especially here, that's what the priority is for that level of innovation. And by the way, we focus it on the offensive side of the ball, but it's on defense as well, trying to keep up with all these new offensive trends. Don't forget that too. That's another big part of this. Let's go to Sean in the Dog Pound. Hello, Sean.
Hello, fellas. How are you today?
Good. Are you literally sitting? You're sitting in the Dog Pound? Did they let you in there?
I'm in section 319. I'm trying to figure out where I want to sit for next year.
Okay, good. Nice.
Nate, dog, I have a couple things I wanted to talk about. And the first was, Nate, dog, I heard you talking to one of the callers previously about, you know, if teams have, you know, 3 to 5 NFL Pro Bowl caliber talent players on their team, they should make it to the playoffs. I would disagree in the fact that, you know, the Browns were on their third string quarterback, and as you had pointed out so eloquently, Vic, none of them were really.
I understand that. I'm not saying they should have necessarily made the playoffs with the cards they were dealt, but I do think they should have been better than 4-12. And I think that there were games that they gave away that they should have won. I think when you look at the schedule and go back and play the games out as they were played, could have easily been 7-9. And Rob Chudzinski's still here, I believe, at 7-9. I don't think there's any question about that, really, that Rob Chudzinski's still here at 7-9.
I think
now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'd made up their mind anyway.
I think you'd have a hell of a hard time
selling
the firing of a 7-9 coach given what was here. 4-12, firing him was tough enough, but trying to do it at 7-9, I think there would be people just saying you're flat out crazy. What are you doing? And there again, we've heard some of that response, but I think it's a much tougher sell going that way. All right, we got to break down some positions, right? We got to get into the tight end spot, and I think that's probably what we should do next is your grading and analysis of the 2013 Browns, as we've been doing it all week, the position by position breakdown. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Vic Carucci. He is Nathan, the Nate Dogg Zagura. This is ESPN 850 WKNR.